What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hey guys, welcome back to Cryptids the Corn Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm JClone81.
And we took a week off for Christmas, so we're going to be releasing a Patreon episode for you guys today. This is a part of the exclusive content Patreon members get. So we just picked one of these episodes and you're going to enjoy it. We appreciate you guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Bye.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm JClone91.
And this is the new Mystery voice.
That's it?
Yes.
You got reprogrammed?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sick, so ready for sniffles and coughs and...
Wonderful.
Death sounds.
I love all those things.
Death rattles.
Or not really. Well, no, not our... Never mind. Wrong show.
You know what they do to put down humans, right?
Electric chair?
No, like people in hospice.
Oh. What?
I'm not even joking.
I don't know where you're going with this, so...
They call it the... You ever hurt somebody with a death rattle?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So they give you eye drops in the mouth.
Ugh.
And, but it, what it does is it dries up all that mucus and you die within minutes.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know, like, they're like, every hospice nurse has ever been like, no, it dries up the mucus so they can breathe better. I watched it happen a dozen times.
Yeah.
Where they died within 15 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Well, it's to kill them.
Don't eye drops make you...
Which, if we're going to put down people...
Yeah.
Let's just put down people. I mean... Yeah. I like I said, I worked with a lot of hospice people and stuff like that. Like, if you're going to drug them into oblivion, let's just do it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening with some hospice nurses. Do you hear an echo?
No, I don't.
My headphones may be turned up too high.
Maybe, yeah.
We had a weird thing with the Rodecaster this morning.
I thought eye drops, if you ate eye drops, it makes you throw up.
Some of them. It has that, I can't remember what the active ingredient is.
Okay. I didn't know if they're like asphyxiating them. Yeah, sure. It dries you up, but then you...
No, wait, I've heard it where it literally, like, all the mucus has gone out of their lungs.
Yeah. That's scary. I've heard the death rattle. It's not a good thing.
No. And I also had a bad experience with... I just don't... Hospice nurses are either really, really great or really bad.
Awful, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
And I know a couple of the really good ones. But, like, the really bad one, one of my favorite people. This is a really dark episode already. And we're going to talk about death a lot today, too.
So. Oh, wonderful.
But it was just this fight. They were supposed to give us the morphine. It was a four-day supply of liquid morphine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole family came in for the weekend and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the hospice nurse decided to give it to the family, and the family gave this person a four-day supply of liquid morphine in about an hour.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't die.
Oh, wow.
The problem with that is after they finally came to about 12 hours later, we didn't have any morphine for them.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't give us any more, and they tried to blame us. I mean, you handed the family...
A bag of morphine.
A bottle of liquid morphine.
Which I've had once in my life.
To their mom that was delirious and in pain.
Yeah.
Where 4 mLs was all they needed, and they gave her probably 100.
4 lbs.
Gosh.
4 pounds.
No. No. And then there's other hospice nurses that are great. The one we had here at the house was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to talk about scary clouds?
Yeah, let's do it. Is this a cryptid?
You know it's a cryptid.
It's a joke.
Oh, from this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody that wasn't in Cryptids and Coffee this morning, even though this comes out in like a month. Like,
right, yeah. Could have been that morning too.
Well, yeah. I can't believe that. Somebody's like, they should change the name because they never talk about cryptids. When I hear cryptid, I want Dogman and I want Bigfoot.
Yeah.
What about, I don't get fungus and clouds. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's not a cryptid. You haven't been listening.
Welcome, new listeners. Welcome.
Well, I don't think they stuck around very long.
No, probably not. That's all right.
Which is fine. Now we're going to talk about scary clouds.
All right, let's do it. So, cumulonimbus?
Yeah. No, I found three little articles. One was our old buddy, the carnivorous pink cloud.
From Ireland, right?
No, the Florida one.
Oh, the Florida one.
Ireland is green, Florida's pink.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, we're going to see if you think these are... demons, if you think these are cryptids, if you think these are maybe other paranormal things like portals. We talked about when we did our Bermuda Triangle episodes about the green fog maybe being a living thing. Like Doctor Who did it as the Vashnarada, which are basically like sky piranhas. They're just a group of bacteria.
That's what I was going to say, dang it.
That form a cloud.
Yeah.
And then they survive normally on worlds as corpse eaters.
Yeah.
Because there's so much
scavengers, basically.
There's so much death, they really never have to bother any of the living species. Every once in a while, they were talking about, like, that's when a person goes missing, is when you run into a really hungry swarm.
Hmm.
Like, they'll pick carrion over anything.
Kind of like piranha. Like, you're usually fine, but if something's...
Piranha, the only time we've ever had those really dramatic deaths are starving piranha.
Right, yeah.
Where they get trapped in little pools.
Right, and they need to eat. And
they haven't eaten in weeks, and they're eating each other.
Yeah.
And then the one that Teddy Roosevelt seen was piranhas in a, basically like a tank.
Yeah.
That they hadn't fed in about a month, and they threw a deer in there, a live deer, and it just gutted this deer.
It's crazy.
But they were starved. All right. You ready?
This is a dark episode.
Dark episode. Indeed.
Dark Mr. E.
I'm the Dark Mystery.
With your new voice.
Here to tell you about the pink fog.
Let's hear it.
Indeed. The cloud over the years.
Okay, Dark Mystery.
No. Apparently blamed for dozens of mysterious disappearances in the area, as well as the discovery of unidentified human bones, it is said to be an ominous pink mist, as almost like a vicious carnivorous ooze across the landscape that devours all that come in contact with it. Some of the carcasses and remains found... are rather gruesome, been described as apparently of being melted or half-dissolved.
Mm.
And that they have supposedly been reports of predatory fog in action with animals, birds, and even insects that have come into contact with mist. It's said to drop dead, and just start being whisked away by tendrils.
Ooh.
The mist is said to strip trees of bark and dissolve bushes. It takes the leaves and only leaves death in its wake.
Okay.
So like we talk about, when we start talking about some of our organic creatures, if this is one of the two things, and I in the book that's coming out, kind of talk about this for the living cloud section, is that there's one of two things. That these are one massive organism, and they're like a giant amoeba, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of running into things to eat, and that's how amoebas kind of do it. They will envelop things.
Right, absorb.
The other thing is the vachnorata, or these are billions of highly active, tight-together organisms. Like when we talk about man-o-wars are actually, you know, 14 to 15,000 different animals holding hands, essentially, right, to make a body.
Not jellyfish.
Even though they look remarkably like jellyfish. So that could be what's happening here as well. There's a bunch of little of these, basically piranha, in this cloud, or they're so small that they look like vapor.
Right.
But they are so good at eating that that's just what happens.
That's the result. The outcome is what you find left behind.
Yeah. So such sightings and strangers occurred up until 1965 to 66. There have been legends of a bizarre cloud that could have been. One popular theory is that some of the local native chiefs named Tecumpe, who is said to have been accursed for stealing a golden cup and drinking from the mysterious fountain of youth without permission. For his transgressions, the chief was hunted down and killed by other tribes, and his golden cup was taken back. And some say this is the spirit of Tecumpe that prowls and destroys people in the mist form.
Now that's kind of scary if that's true.
No, it's the same thing as Cornstalk getting blamed for Mothman.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion.
Well, I mean, Cornstalk didn't steal the cup and drink from the fountain of youth.
But remember, up until recent, the story of Cornstalk was that he was screaming curses at them and not shot down.
Right, and, yeah.
You know, after you kill a peace-loving Native American chief, you kind of sit there and be like, you know, we better spin this a little bit.
Right, make it a little better sounding for us.
Yeah, make it a little better sounding. Like, he stole from the Fountain of Youth in a golden cup.
Okay, it makes sense.
We didn't shoot him down because we wanted that land he lived on.
Right, yeah.
Dang.
Never happens.
Other ideas say that it's just folklore based on the odd color of light hitting the frequent fogs in the area. And even some people say it's swamp gas.
That old famous dissolving swamp gas that just kills everything it comes in contact with.
He hated it.
I hate to see it.
And even some sort of toxic cloud or lethal fumes coming from chemical industrial plants.
Well, now that could be a possibility.
On the site Weird USA, there has been several committees made by readers familiar with the area. One person called Welder 2 said this. They call it the cannibal cloud. When I was in school, it was supposed to be a pink, and it would eat meat right off the bone, anything it came in contact with. It wasn't swamp gas. It was more like a thick fog. And it really didn't cover an area. It was a small spot. When you go into the woods in this area called Tiger Bay Preserve, right near Tecumpe River, you might be able to see it. I don't think you can see it all the time, just certain times of the year when there's a lot of normal fog.
Okay.
I think it's just the fog that reflects in the pink color in that area. Most of the newcomers who have moved down here think about it. They have talked with people who walk around from the 60s and still hear about it. So this guy, I have a couple, I guess there's a couple local accounts here. You know, he thinks it's just a pink fog. It's just weird light reflection, like an urban legend. But says you only see it when there's a lot of normal fog.
Right.
So to me, it'd be very weird for one spot of fog to be pink.
Right.
In the middle of a bunch of fog.
So he's saying all the fog's pink, basically.
No, he's saying that you can see a spot.
Oh, you specifically see
a spot that's pink. And that's what started. What he's saying is what started the legend.
Amongst all the other fog that's just there. Okay, now I understand. Oh, okay.
Another commenter named NSB said this is the carnivorous cloud. There's a lawyer I know who could fill you with more about the pink cloud. What nobody knows except that it's a thick pink fog that covers a wide area in Tecumpe Forest. Now that the claims are made by people vanishing in the area and only their bones are found, the pink cloud was to blame for the disappearances of these people. It would actually eat the flesh off their bones.
Hmm.
So this Tecumseh area, or Tacoma or Tecumseh, I've seen both.
Okay.
They're different words.
Right, yes.
But it's one's a guy, one's a tribe, I believe.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's the same area.
Okay, makes sense.
So it's Tamakoa or Tecumseh.
Okay.
But yeah, they're both in Florida. It's the river and the park.
Understood.
Just really weird that, you know, it's a lot like a local urban legend that people still kind of see. But in the 60s is when, like, when we talked about it originally, it was when deer hunter had watched it literally, like, melt a squirrel in front of him.
Yeah, which would be, I don't know if that would be frightening or awesome.
It'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're a squirrel.
But it would be so cool to see, though, too, I guess.
After. You made it to the car.
Yeah. You'd
be like, oh, that was neat.
I mean, it would be awesome to see in the moment, too. Like, oh, wow, watch, look, I can see his skull now. Oh, I can see all of his bones.
Curiously, there's another explanation for the phenomena at the same area that may be connected. There's a history of strange spook lights haunting the area of Tacoma River around the same time,
mm-hmm.
in the 60s. Actually, I believe when we had Mark Muncy on, you weren't here for that interview, he kind of talked about these lights.
The spook lights?
Yeah, in this area specifically. Remember, this is the one with, you know, you got to think. No, you were on for this one. You remember, and I'm going to use the word midgets because that's what it was at the time, but little people.
Yeah.
They said they were everything from little people to dwarfs to goblins.
Yeah.
Those spook lights. And
okay.
They would steal people and steal away people.
This. Yep.
The same area, the same time as the pink fog.
Okay. So is there there's some overlap here.
Right.
Or is there a connection, though?
There's a lot of people going missing in these swamps. And they also, remember, they blamed I'm trying to think back. That was like season two. But I think it was a black lady that had been killed and came back as an alligator, like a possessed alligator, and started snatching up people, too.
I don't remember that part.
And I think that was that. We kind of just wrote it off as systemic racism of the time.
Oh, gotcha.
Just blaming, you know, it was right during, you know, the 60s were a rough time in America.
A shifting moment, yeah.
So making legends up about black people in the swamp eating kids definitely happened.
Okay, I was going to say, not unlikely.
No, that happened.
Yeah.
Because there was hot blood running. But no, it was just weird that the spook lights were happening on time. For years, there were stories of ambiguous lights floating in the woods and the mist is said to inhabit. So whether you believe in the little people story or the pink fog story, the same forest and river was having fog and lights and people disappearing. So it's kind of where you fell on the side of the river.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Which story you're believing. These lights were said to have been seen by hundreds of people over the years, sometimes dozens of witnesses at one time, where they would literally see, they would describe these lights as almost swimming through the woods. Like they'd be standing on one of the big river barges or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and you could see like four or five of these lights like running or swimming through this swamp. Something you could not run through.
Right, yeah.
Which is really interesting to talk, like, and you, especially that area, if you know people are going disappearing or missing over there, it's going to be a long episode. I cannot talk today.
Yeah.
But yeah, a witness named Susan Hardley, executive director of the Omaha Beach Historical Society, had her run in with these lights, with the mysterious lights on many occasions, and this is what she said. The first time I saw them, as the car approached, they were separated into two pieces, and they went around the car, and then they reformed when we got past the car.
Mm.
So she sees these two lights heading straight at her,
right.
Like headlights, like there's going to be a car hit her. The thing separates and then re-emerges behind her. So whatever it is, and we talked about that with some of the spook lights and stuff like that. Most of the time, they just go through you. Like, they don't really go around you. The second time I saw them, they were formed in front of the car, and they went over the car altogether. There was a lot of speculation as to what it was. Nobody ever really knew what it was. Of course, the most obvious answer was aliens, but some people discounted it as just swamp gas, which it's never once been swamp gas.
No.
It was one time it was swamp gas.
It was said one, yes.
Who said that? Oh, Project Blue Book. I'm forgetting his name.
Hynek. Hynek, yeah.
And he hated it. He said it.
Yeah.
because the U.S. government used it for everything.
Right.
It was one time, and it was Bowling Green, Ohio.
Yeah.
It was ever the only time it was ever swamp gas,
which is crazy. It reminds me of though with it splitting and coming back, like some of the UFO sightings we see, mm-hmm. where it's one light, and then it splits in like two or three.
Yeah.
And it spreads out, but then it'll come back into one.
Yeah, I think you got it.
It's just, well, okay, got it. We don't know what that is. So, oh, bum, 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 spoiler.
Or do we?
Or do we?
Cyanophore.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
No, it just, it really kind of, like, this one specifically really kind of walks that line of the organic UFO angle.
Yeah.
Where they're feeding in these swamps, and people run into them, and they know they can't eat a car.
So, are you associating the lights with the fog?
Yeah.
Like, it could be one and the same?
I think they are the same.
Hmm.
I think the same thing. I just think when you see them during the day, there's no bioluminescence.
It's just the fog. Like
a giant pink jellyfish-like thing.
Right, yeah. But then at night...
Because even some people say the fog has tendrils.
Yeah, you said that earlier.
Like they say that it looks like it has, like, amoeba, like, cilia is what's on amoebas.
Yep.
But little tendrils that pick up stuff and feed it and stuff like that. During the night, I think you just can't see the transparent part of the body.
You just see the lights.
You just see the lights.
Yeah.
The bioluminescent sacs.
Hmm.
So when it's splitting, it may be two organisms that are like, oh, jellyfish do that. When they get into, like, mangroves and stuff like that, they move around objects.
Right, yeah.
So if it's just like, I know I can't eat that. That's not food. You know, they ran into a car before. They know metal is not, probably for them, is not a food source.
Right, yeah.
And it's probably damaging.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it would be.
So some other various reports, the mysterious lights themselves are carnivorous and lethal. Assistant manager of Tacoma Park, Joe Isaac, remains skeptic of these dark accounts. Like I said, there's a lot of people being eaten by lights.
Dying, yeah.
Being turned to bones.
Just bones. Oh, you know, we need to, whatever these things are, we got to be able to collect it somehow and use it for like taxidermists. Get rid of them nasty beetles.
That domestic beetles?
Yeah, we use the pink fog.
There are a whole, so here's what he says. There are a whole bunch of versions of the light story. There's one person that says, if the lights make contact with you, they will eat your flesh.
Wow.
It's a little gory, but locals say a young couple were parked outside the road and they had their top, like the top of the car down. They were, later on, they were involved in an accident and died as a part of the haunt, and now that's part of the haunting now. I don't know what the naysayers, but I lived in the park for 30 years. I've never seen them. I think every town has its own legend like this. So he's not a big believer.
Okay. So he just thinks it's local folklore.
Yeah. So I left out a lot of the stories we covered kind of the first time we did this because I have other death fogs.
Yeah.
But I think this one.
And this one, we're just specifically hyper-focused on this one in Florida.
Yeah. Like this local this area. Pink fog.
Yes.
For this part of the episode.
Okay.
So what do you think, like, with the lights, with these death lights, it's weird because when you look at the area, the one side talks about the pink fog. The other side talks about these death lights.
Yeah.
And it's the river side that talks about the death lights. And it's the wooded side that talks about the fog. And my thoughts is that during the wooded side, you have deer hunters, like the original encounter that we talked about, are going into the woods more during the day.
Mm-hmm.
The river side, there's party barges on the river. There's literally people fishing and all that stuff. And there's a road that runs right along the side of the river in the mm-hmm. park. So there's more access to that area at night. So to me, they're probably seeing the same phenomena that's always kind of there.
Just at
different times.
Times a day.
Yeah. So it's what the park's being used for, what the area's being used for.
Mm-hmm.
The wooded area is really, the only reason you're going in there is to hunt.
Right. You're not going to stroll through the woods in the middle of the night.
Not a swamp woods.
Right.
You know, like when, if you have a trail and stuff like that, that may be a little difference. This is not a trailed area. This is right. Like you're going in to backpack hunt. And hunt.
Yeah.
No, what do you think?
Well, I'm just curious. With the dissolving and, you know, it makes me think it is some kind of like almost flesh-eating bacteria, but it, like hyperactive. There's nothing that I know of that will do it that fast, it seems like. You know what I mean?
There's for that fast of digestion, there's a couple things like, what is it?
I mean, but apart from
bearded vultures, because they eat, or pretty much, they only eat bones.
Yeah.
So, and they swallow like a femur.
Right.
And you'll watch it kind of go down into their throat as they're digesting it.
Okay.
So there's a couple animals, like hyenas have pretty active digestive acids. So I'm not saying that there's anything that does it that fast.
Yeah, it's like...
But, you know, if this animal is hyper-evolved to have things run into it,
Yeah.
You know, it maybe is focused on that.
Right, yeah. It's like pouring, like, I don't know, hydrochloric acid over something. I don't.
And if it's more amoeba-based, it may not even be, not dissolving it the same way. It may be having literal tiny mouths.
Eating it.
Ripping chunks of meat.
Yeah.
As it goes.
Right, yeah. And just, well, wherever it goes after that.
Well, it goes into the cloud, into the body.
Where's the poop go?
Well, blood rain.
Ah, okay.
Poop's red. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
No,
that was the only line from the movie Dumb and Dumber 2 that I thought was even remotely funny in that whole movie.
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber 2.
Don't waste your time. Just stick to the first one and be happy with how good.
The first one.
It was fantastic. Everything, the one after that, just it's just awful. But he says that line in the movies in front of like all these scientists, and they're trying to figure out like a way to, you know, feed the earth, you know, in a more sustainable way. And that's what Harry just stands up. Yeah, but where's all the poop go? And just stumped all of them. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I never thought of that.
There's a famous architect. You ever heard about this? I cannot remember the name of the guy.
Weird Al?
No, architect.
He went to school.
Did he?
Yeah, he went to school for architecture.
Built the most beautiful library ever.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't account for the weight of the books inside the library.
No way.
And it never worked. Like the floor started cracking and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Didn't account for the weight of the books.
Because now they teach that in architects, like in school for that.
Yeah.
Is that you have to think about
what's going in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because books weigh an absolute, like.
Oh, yeah.
When you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of books. This is like a big city, like a massive city library. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not like a little local library.
No, I mean, even your little bookshelf over here is.
There's probably 300 pounds of books on that.
That's what I was saying. It's got to be.
Books are heavy.
Extremely heavy, yeah.
I'm going to guess 300 pounds.
Probably, at least.
No, so back to the carnivorous pink cloud.
Yeah.
I really do think they're maybe the same thing. I don't know if they're. Like, I don't know if it's the swarm of little animals or even a swarm of bigger animals. So, like, when you see the two lights split and then reattach.
Yeah.
They may be actual, like, the clouds may only be, like, 6 foot long, the actual individuals inside the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of all lump together for either defense, for better hunting strategies, that kind of stuff.
Or maybe navigation. It's easier to move.
That could be, too. So, like, you look, some of the jellyfish, they'll actually end up hooking together.
Yeah.
And make floats.
Okay.
And it's for safety. It's for navigation. It's for 100 different factors. So I wonder if that's what they're doing here. But they... Or just feeding, so like literally they're just pushing their bodies through these areas. Mostly, I'm going to guess, eat insects.
Stripping nutrients
out. But when they run into an animal, obviously, they're going to digest that animal too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of the time I'm going to guess it's insects. Because you talk about these swamps in Florida. If you're a animal like that, a gelatinous cube essentially.
Yeah.
You're going to catch 1 billion pounds of mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then every once in a while, you run into a squirrel or a pig or, you know, or a deer or something like that, or a human.
If you can take it, you're gonna.
But like the ones in Ireland, you talk about, if you just lay down.
Right, yeah. It feels like a cat's tongue, right?
Hot and it's rough.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it feels like, you know, like you said, a giant cat's tongue going over top of their body. But what if you don't lay down? Somebody learned to say, like, you don't try to run from it. You just lay down and let it go over you.
Yeah.
So is it the same thing? Is it the same kind of animal that's literally just combing through a woods, eating all the insects and small animals it can catch?
Mm.
And if a cow happens to be in front of it,
it's going
to
do it.
But like, you know, they said that they found half digested, like almost half melted things.
Right.
And that the animals, they're just too big. So it just gets what it can while it's passing through.
And just moves on.
Yeah. If it's like a jellyfish, it may not be able to stop when it's moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They kind of steer.
Yeah.
But they really can't sit still.
Gotcha.
So if it's being pushed by wind currents or whatever, it may not have time to, like, if it's big prey, to sit here and digest it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to get what it's going to get from it and then move on.
That makes sense.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
All right. Anything else for the pink clown?
I just hope I don't run into it.
And you can find out about, I think the pink cloud made it into this first book. Or maybe in the second book.
What's the book called again?
Living UFOs. I don't even remember the full title anymore.
Okay.
No, it's Living UFOs. What is it called? I don't even remember.
I'm sorry, is it Atmosphere?
I'm glad you asked, because it's called Living UFOs. The Ocean Above Our Heads, A Study of Atmospheric Biology.
Oh, so stay tuned and stick with us, and that book will be available soon.
Yeah, I think the goal right now is
CryptidCon, right?
Yeah, that's the, yeah, that's
2024.
The premiere date. So November.
Yes, November 2024. Living UFOs.
Oh, gosh, man. I am so, I know this comes out like in a month. But it's fair. It's the week after fair, and I am just wiped.
Yeah,
we should have not taken that one skip week for break, and skipped this week.
Oh, for after fair.
For next week, we need to remember that.
Next year.
Yeah. We need to remember that.
Skip after fair.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds fair.
Ba-dunch.
Just hilarious.
All right. Freaky Fogs is the next article by Nick Redfern. So Stephen Wrangler from livingabout.com says, one of the most mysterious examples of a paranormal phenomena is the strange fogs or smokes from around the world. The appearance of such unusual clouds, especially if it's strangely colored or has no natural apparent cause, may signal the presence of something otherworldly, such as a ghost or a spirit. Mysterious fogs and smokes are also associated with vanishings, he continues. Such experiences, surprisingly, are not uncommon, as many people might think. Wrangler is not wrong. There are numerous such examples, and the issues of mysterious fogs in mist that we're taking a look at today. We'll begin with the eerie story of Ann Owen, who Nick had interviewed on August 11th, 2000. Ann had a very strange spirit living in North Wales.
This is Australia?
No. No, it's New Wales.
New Wales.
That's New South Wales.
Okay. North Wales is England.
Yes.
Okay.
It was the night of January 23rd, 1972, and told the following. We had bought two derelict 400-year-old cottages, which we were converting. Only in England can you buy a building that's like 2,000 years old.
Well, I was just say 400-year-old, if a house here, well, a house built now would never last 400 years. Not a chance.
Well, yeah, but they also built their houses out of people.
Well, maybe we should start building ours out of politicians.
I'm not opposed. I'm so out of breath. A 400-year-old cottages. Oop.
Yes, 400-year-old cottages in England. They're fixing up.
You just made me. I'm just thinking about putting people in the walls.
Yeah, building your foundation.
Yeah. They're on the mountain above Twiffen. Oh, I have another thing for you before I continue reading this lady's story. So there's a bunch of English names and all kinds of stuff that horrible names of places. We had another bad comment on the Chicago Mothman series.
Okay.
And the person was like, as a Chicagoan, hearing all these names mispronounced and all the negative comments about Chicago honestly made it hard to finish.
Yeah, well.
I'm like, I didn't say anything not true about Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you live in one of the really nice neighborhoods.
Rosewood?
Roseville.
Roseville, yeah.
Oh my gosh. $4 or $5 million houses that are like smaller than this one.
Yeah.
but right next up to
the private bunker.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, it would just probably a poor community that.
Oh yeah, no.
Has no income.
No, there's a river. There's a river. They keep all the poor people on that side of the river with the
right,
big stick.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
I hate big cities.
No, it just made me laugh that they're like, the negative comments about Chicago made it hard to listen.
Yeah.
Chicago made it hard to talk about.
Right. Yeah. That whole city, like. Well,
God tried to take it out twice.
Well, that or somebody did. Somebody burned it down. It wasn't a farmer or a cow, I tell you that much.
One time it was.
No, that's a hoax.
There was a mountain above Trevoux and Lanewurst near the River Conwell. That one I can. Conwell's easy. But Lanewurst, there's two L's in a row.
Oh, boy. Your brain is just scrambling, I bet.
We've taken a caravan up there and a horse, as well as our two children. When we were with the caravan and the children, as we couldn't move into the cottages yet due to them being derelict.
Which doesn't that mean just like unlivable, basically?
Yeah, yeah. Derelict means abandoned, like it's abandoned for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah.
That night, January 23rd, the horse was very restless. We put him near our caravan. A caravan for everybody here in the United States is a camper.
Oh, okay.
But late, yeah, I only learned that because I watch a lot of BBC. So like a caravan park.
Yeah.
Is literally like a campground.
Okay.
But later that night, it started rocking and the caravan was in a terrible state. There suddenly we saw this thing outside the window. It was like a giant white ball, very slowly moving. It was difficult to know how far away it was because it was pitch black outside. But it looked about 2 to 3 feet wide. Then suddenly, there's an enormous bang, absolutely colossal. Anne continued, the only other person who was local to us was an old lady who was was staring at it too. Well, she came up to me and started to say that she had been woken by the bang. She also lived on the mountain and had gone to her bedroom window to see these little men things that were very small and all dressed in black. About 3 or 4 foot tall. She thought because she'd seen the military on the mountain before, that there was something to do with them. But she found that they were rather odd and they were very, very small.
So she just happened to see the military on the mountain before.
This mountain has a big history.
Okay.
Of UFO crashes.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. I think we talked about this mountain before, actually.
Probably. We've talked about a lot of places.
She described a little gathering of them about 4 or 5 very, very early in the morning and near where the trees were. But she said that they didn't look too different, only smaller, rather notably, and added, the day before and the day after this happened, a weird mist came down out of the mountain out of nowhere. This was nothing like a normal mist. I still remember it now. So that's that part.
Okay.
Odd, right? Just
a little bit, yeah.
So the horse, the whole night before, was just kind of freaking out. As the horse is freaking out, like later that night, the whole camper starts rocking.
And then
like something to hit it.
Right.
And then they hear this loud bang. The neighbor comes out. They're watching this about 3 foot wide white orb kind of moving back up into the sky.
Which, was it described as like glowing like an orb or?
So.
They said like a white cloud in the thing.
Yeah. It kind of like a little white cloud.
Hmm.
And then the crazy neighbor lady was like, yeah, I know. I've seen little men before. And the military's always up here.
Why is she crazy? Why did she say that?
I don't know.
You just imagined her that way? She just coming out. Just when your neighbor comes out to. Not yell at you, but I don't know.
Well, no, not yell at you. It'd be like, huh? Well, you're both. Here's my thing. You're both staring at a UFO, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, yeah. You know, I seen one time, and she's like talking about something that really has nothing to do with what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Or there's a bunch of tiny little men in black suits. I thought they were the military, but they were like 2 foot tall.
Yeah.
But the military's been up here before, but they were just really small, and I wonder if that's where they come out of. But they're from the military. And you're like, how is the UFO not the craziest thing I'm looking at right now?
Right, yeah. It's you, lady.
It's you.
But she might be right.
No, so this made me think of Jellyfish Tried to Eat Me, Robin.
Yeah.
Where it kind of seemed like this big thing was like meandering. And I kind of wonder if it just slammed into the camper.
Or if that's what it was, you know, I don't know.
It didn't have to be. I'm just,
yeah.
It's kind of what obviously my theme is for this episode. Yeah, just sure. weird cloud creature things.
Right, yeah.
But no, it almost seems like it slammed into the caravan or the camper,
mm-hmm.
whether on purpose or an accident. To me, it almost seems more accidental. I don't know if it was going for the horse.
Mm.
And then once it hit something hard, it just started going straight up.
Yeah, it's like natural evasion move. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem very intelligent to me.
Okay. More reactionary?
Yeah. More just bumping into things and moving around them.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a haunting to me. But she's... And this weird fog she's mentioning before and after coming out of the mountains. I don't know if it's a weather event. I don't know. We talk a lot with these portals. And I wonder if... I kind of think fog or condensed air, like water, will form around portals opening and closing.
Okay.
So I kind of think that can be some of this too with like the Bermuda Triangle areas, the Skinwalker Ranch areas, you know, the Uinta Basin as a whole. We'll have random fog events. And I kind of think that it's, I just was talking to, well, Matthew Wharton last night from Drunken Cryptids podcast about getting a Geiger counter because there's, I can't really talk about it yet, but there's a lot of evidence around portal areas having spike in background radiation. But you need to get one that's a little more sensitive because it's not like a dangerous level of radiation.
It's just smaller.
It's like 2 or 3 times background.
Yeah.
Which is safe, but odd. You know what I mean? So it's that thing where I kind of think there are defined portals. I don't think you can physically see them most of the time.
They're safe, but noticeable still.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you can physically see these portal areas most of the time. Like, there's the stories like Skinwalker where maybe if you're at just the right angle, you can kind of look down into these holes,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
See through them.
Yeah. But I think most of the time you can't. So I think you got to start focusing on the secondary telling, you know, abilities, like a Geiger counter. When
something you can measure with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
EVP, you know, the electronic stuff. I don't know if that's a way to find them or not. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, there you go. I don't know. What do you think this thing was?
I don't know. I mean, because we don't typically hear them running into too much stuff, you know, actually causing a loud bang or a bump. You know, mostly they're just floating through or in or around things. Or if they get caught up in something, you see them like... I guess panic can go up like they did, but still like a physical bang. What
if the bang was one of its organs popping?
From hitting it, or?
Yeah, like one of its gaseous sacs.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Or a defensive sound.
Yeah. Oh, that could be that.
You remember
that
when we talked about the manta rays, the one attacking the house?
Yeah.
Remember, it let out giant bangs. Remember, it made this gigantic boom sound. And we talked about it like maybe either... fighting the house as for potential mates or trying to mate with the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
But I wonder if it's just, I wonder if they are using sound in something. You know, people talk about these mysterious trumpets from the sky and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Those are what's weird. Yeah.
What if it's these guys? It's a defensive noise.
Or a breeding noise.
Or, you know, mating call.
Yeah.
You know, blue whales are so loud because the ocean is so big.
Right.
So what if these, you know,
it's their way of courtship.
Bigger to talk to each other. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about a really famous one here in a second. How Stuff Works wrote an article titled The Rendlesham Forest Incident.
What forest?
Rendlesham. One of the most famous UFO encounters. We talked about that's the UFO that was hyper-focused on the nuke that was hidden there.
Yeah, okay. So, this is also in the UK, huh?
Yeah.
Or is this...
It was an American... Here's what gets confused people.
Right.
Rendlesham was an American base that nobody knew about. And it had nuclear warheads there.
Wow.
And this UFO started basically patting the ground where the nuke was.
Yeah. Don't you just love our military industrial complex?
And then
complex?
The nuke would arm and count down all the way to one.
And then
disarm.
Yeah. That's craziness.
Especially for a place that, you know, not supposed to even be known.
Yeah, that's what's throwing me off. Because what if it's just, could be a huge psychological psyop.
Oh, it could be. No, our government tortured our own soldiers many a times.
Oh, and our citizens, still actively doing both.
Wasn't that the Russian one that tried to fly that nuke over Canada that crashed? That it wasn't real?
I don't remember.
That they crashed, I think, in Alaska or Canada. It was one of the two.
Russia did?
Yeah. Basically, they had a nuke in a plane, and they were testing Americans. They were more testing their pilots. They weren't supposed to crash. They crashed on accident because they were doing the longest run they'd ever done.
Yeah.
To see if they could do it.
Yeah.
And they were testing the soldiers because they told them they had a live nuke. They didn't.
Oh, okay.
And so they were fighting. It was just this weird thing. It wasn't a live nuke.
Right.
At the but end it of the was, day. It was just screwing with, it was more screwing with their own soldiers.
Yeah.
Being like, we're giving you the biggest live nuke we have.
Right, yeah.
And it's basically an empty tin can.
But might just, yeah, just see how they react, how they function in that environment with that thought, how they handle the pressure.
Right, of having the deadliest weapon ever made.
And just, yeah, flying with you. I'm wondering, though, like, with that, where it was turning down the countdown and stopping it, yeah, what if it, we just had, like, one of our secret, you know, ships. It's not even something special. It's just up in the sky shooting a spotlight down. Everyone sees it, and we're remotely arming it.
Oh, for rental ship? Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
They say, after observe reported strange lights, the deputy base commander, L. Colt Charles Holt. Oh, my gosh. That's a name, isn't it?
Charles Holt?
We're just going to go with Holt.
Okay.
Colonel Holt.
H-O-L-T?
Yeah. Okay. So they had the lights over the base first, and then it went into the forest, right?
Right.
They led the larger party into the Rendlesham Forest. I think it was Christmas Eve too, if I remember.
Ooh.
Because half the base was hammered.
Oh.
And it got really confusing really fast.
Yeah.
Cause like there were they had like if I'm remembering right, they had a really thin security group that night because it was Christmas Eve and they were having the Christmas party. And it like they weren't supposed to be drinking at the Christmas party and everybody was hammered.
And then
a UFO invades. You imagine being that like the one time we actually drank.
Right. Oh, the UFO. There's
a UFO trying to steal the nukes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so led a group into Reynolds. From there, Holt measured abnormal amounts of radiation from the original landing site, along with a smaller group of sparking a trek in through the Rendlesham Forest, spotted a dancing red light inside an eerie, pulsating fog.
Ooh.
So higher levels of radiation near the thing.
Mm-hmm.
A light moving, dancing around inside a thick, eerie fog.
So, okay.
Researchers and writer Brian Danning says, of the Rendlesham Forest, 6 years later, the base personnel described the craft as pursued as metal and conical, with bright red lights above and circling and blue lights below, inside the metal, suspended in a thick yellow mist.
Oh, okay.
So almost like the lights were swimming around in the metal, in the metal skin.
Right. Yeah.
It's very weird. Every time it's been described to me, it almost is like you ever seen the brain things where they show like the graphics of like electrical pulses through the brain.
Yes. Yes.
It's what it reminds me of.
Okay.
Where the UFO had like that kind of lights moving in the skin of it.
Hmm.
It also had hieroglyphs on the side of it. And
that's what. And this one.
Yeah.
This story. Okay.
So it. Rendlesham will do a whole episode on because like he touched it and said he got a download of information.
That one. Yeah, okay. 100%. I know what you're talking about.
But it's real weird because it goes from where I kind of think it could be an organic thing. I kind of think it could be a government thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, some parts like literally where the nuke is like padding at the ground, or not the nuke, when the UFO is like padding at the ground where the nuke is and itself being radioactive makes me more think of the creatures that maybe feed on radioactive waste.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I know there's food here somewhere. I can, you know, I sense it.
Yeah.
And then went over in the woods to kind of just, I don't know, relax for a minute. Or they shot it and they ever told anybody they shot at this thing and it was over there bleeding to death.
I hope not.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean,
that was a real, like I said, a watered down version of Rendlesham.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still would like to think it's the government themselves, but if they actually physically seen the thing, this is all the same story where the guy touched it. This is all this.
Yeah, and he said years later that it downloaded
right information,
tons of information into him,
like directly or instantaneously. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird story. About where I fall on it, I don't know.
So I got one more. I think we'll do one more of these. I have tons of them, so we'll see. So this may be a part two for you guys, Patreon people. Moving away from UFOs, over the course of more than two decades, Linda Godfrey, which will be in the Mothers of Cryptozoology episode.
All right.
Linda Godfrey, I mean, she's the Beast of Brave Old Lady. Like, that's what she got famous for. But she also, she's one of the ones that kind of brought cryptozoology and the paranormal together.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Come on. My bad. Just destroyed the table with my knee.
So anyways, she's written tons of amazing books, many of which might call werewolves, but she prefers the term dogman. Linda's books, including The Beast of Bray Road, Hunting America's Werewolf, The Michigan Dogman, Werewolves, and The Real Wolfman. Anyways, she's great. She wrote a book, Monsters Among Us. Anyways, in her most ambitious, thought-provoking, the section of the book called Creatures of Shadows, Lights and Mist.
Mm.
And the title was for a very good reason, as Linda demonstrated on the occasion where dogmen were often seen. There are strange, unusual small balls of light and thick, mysterious mist following them. Attempts to photograph the man-wolves are foiled time and time again by the weird, thick mist that seemed to evaporate and cloak the locations around these creatures.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Thus preventing anything from supernatural significance of being captured or portrayed. Some of these mists are eerie green colors. On occasion, they've been caused notable amounts of missing time, paralysis, and even sickness in people.
Hmm.
Or as ufologist Jeffrey Radles says in The Oz Factor, at times the witnesses report being plagued by different realities or unreal times, almost as if they're enveloped in a pocket dimension by these mists.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. It just goes on talking more about that. It's really weird that these dogman entities are often accompanied from lights and this thick fog seemed to be protecting them.
Like envelops them, yeah.
Yeah. Protecting them from... Sorry, I'm getting out of breath. I've been really sick. No, so it's like protecting them from capture, from that kind of stuff. If you get hit with it, it can make you everything from really, really sick.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder for this kind of stuff with Bigfoot, if it's not infrasound.
That's producing like this
yeah.
fog-like thing around them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, if it's not infrasound that's making people sick.
Oh, understood.
Okay. If it's these clouds. I don't know what these things are.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
If it's maybe what we talked about with the Fae and everything like that. What if these are, if Bigfoot and these dogmen are interdimensional things, what if these are essentially interdimensional boogans that have a...
Interdimensional what?
Boogans.
Boogans?
Just means creatures, weird things.
Okay, okay.
That are symbiotic with these guys.
Hmm.
They're almost like, the dogman is like their hive.
Right, right, right. Or what's a nurse shark or a lemon shark that has a little fish that swim
yeah,
under?
Yeah, all of them, the remoras. They do jobs for them and pilot fish and stuff right. like that. So they do jobs with these creatures.
Like co-inhabitant? Yeah. Or
what's symbiotic.
Symbiotic relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they both get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's something with it. I don't know if it's the dogman itself producing these things. It's interesting to think about.
What if it's just a creature from like a different whatever dimension, however, or even light spectrum, but I want to say a different dimension, and the fog and all that is just a byproduct of its existence here. I don't know. Like it's kind of between dimensions, realities, worlds. I don't know.
It could be. I really don't know. It's just like I said, this is just the bad cloud episode.
Right. Maybe it's just like it's... Because you said it emits some radiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if it's just existing and you can't fully see it, but all you see physically here is the radiation, like, it's emitting from being a different dimension, and it just appears as, like, a fog.
Well, like, I mean, that's a good idea, too. I never thought about that.
Like, it's a weird vibration.
No, I like that, because, like, we talk about the visible light spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
If it's ultraviolet radiation, for example, we don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Animals can. If what if this, like you're saying, this type of radiation
yeah.
is on the edge
right, it's
just of visible light.
Almost there, but not quite.
Or visible wavelengths.
Right, yeah.
So we can kind of, we get enough of a sense of it to put something there, but not really anything hard.
Right, you just know.
I like that idea.
Something's there, but I don't know. And what if whatever the byproduct of that interdimensional radiation is, or maybe it's vibrating at like the right for organic matter. It just breaks it down like immediately. And I don't know. Not decomposes it, but if it's vibrating at a certain frequency that just destroys organic matter, I don't know. Maybe and then once it touches you, But then I guess it wouldn't make sense to leave just bones behind.
Well, I mean,
maybe just soft tissue.
These all don't have to be the same thing.
Right. Yeah. But still, yeah. What if it's soft tissue? I don't know.
It's probably because it's piranha solution.
Piranha solution?
You ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's this liquid that hates organic materials.
Okay.
You can make it.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
It's acid, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it's an acid.
Yeah, okay.
But it dissolves, like, there's a guy that makes it, and it's literally, it'll dissolve a hot dog in about a second. It'll dissolve a ham with a bone in it in about a minute.
The bone, too?
Yeah.
Oh, dang, okay.
But it, like, you can throw plastic in it, and it doesn't care.
Yeah. It doesn't affect it at all.
It hates carbon, is what it hates.
Mm. As far as, you mean, like,
reactive.
Okay.
It's reactive. Very, very destroying. Reactive. So it hates, that's why it's a joke that it hates life. Because all life destroys. Is carbon based.
Yeah.
So it literally rips carbon out of things.
Gosh.
But no, you can watch. Like, a fun one is people throw paper towels in it.
Yeah.
Because that's paper.
Right.
A whole liquid will turn black for like a millisecond and then be gone. Like, it's clear again.
Oh, wow. That's
crazy.
And
that's the carbon in it. It's ripping all the carbon out of it.
Yeah.
The hot dog was the fun one because, like, the only reason the hot dog made it for like 10 seconds is because the rind was literally, like, riding on the bubbles.
Oh.
So it never really could hit the liquid again.
Yeah, it couldn't get down in it.
Yeah, but once it dropped in, it just, like, was gone.
It's gone. That's crazy. Well, if we can make that, then that must mean nature can, too.
Mm-hmm. It's not, like, there's acids in stomachs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that level that we know about.
Yeah. But well, I mean, maybe nature's making it and it's floating around.
Bearded vultures and stuff like that, they digest whole, like, femurs. They'll literally swallow, like, in zoos and stuff. That's a party trick they do for, like, animal ambassadors. They hand them that.
Yeah.
And you'll see, like, the end of the bone sticking out. And they'll just sit there and they'll hold it and the bone will just start
dropping down,
sinking in.
That's crazy.
It's a bird.
Man, imagine the nutrients he's getting out of that bone, though.
But that's like, they pretty much just eat bones. They look like dragons. You've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
They look like dragons.
I mean, that's a good food source.
No, so we'll leave it off here. We'll still talk for a minute, but I'm going to save the rest of them because there's apparently plenty for a part two.
Yeah, all right.
And also maybe because how slow I was reading.
No, I think it's been a good pace.
No, I with the clouds, like you had a good idea with the radiation and stuff like that. I kind of also wonder with these entities that we think may be interdimensional.
Yeah.
It's very hard for us to wrap our head around that.
Right.
As people, what that means.
I still don't. I got an idea, but I still can't put my finger on it. But, like, grasp it.
I'll talk about the cartoon again, Gravity Falls. I just rewatched it again with Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he was basically a god destroyer creature from the second dimension.
Okay.
But he's the only creature in his dimension that could perceive the third dimension.
Oh, okay.
Like, so until he got to the other side of it, he really couldn't interact with it fully. But that's what drove him insane.
Is because he could see it.
He could see it, but nobody else could.
Yeah.
So he could see the stars. He could see all this stuff. Like, but when he would come into, they did a really good thing, like an interesting thing. When he would come into this third dimension, sometimes there'd be three of them.
Okay.
And it's all him doing stuff, but it's like mirrored images.
Yeah.
So first, second, and third dimension.
Okay.
Stacking up on top of each other.
Okay.
So what if the fog, the body, and something else, the light, are the first, second, third dimension of these creatures? It's all the same thing.
We're just seeing the layers of it, basically.
We can only perceive the one that fits our reality the best.
Yeah.
That fog could be layer two, and that light could be layer one.
Yeah.
And they're all actually a part of the same entity, but our brains are playing catch up.
And it's hard. You can't really rule that out because none of this makes sense.
No, when you break it down. I think the bad physics episode, hopefully people got that from that physicists don't know.
Yeah.
They're making guesswork.
Right.
And educated guesswork. I'm not saying it's not, you
speculative,
know,
yes.
Well, I mean,
yes.
Tons and tons and tons of math goes into it and stuff like that. It's hard to even get to that level. But it's still, they don't agree with each other on this stuff.
It's not carved in stone.
So between the only difference between paranormal and science is understanding.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only difference.
I agree with that 100%.
Just knowing how the sauce is made.
Exactly, the sausage.
But they, what we used to call magic, you know, in those medicines 200 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just science. It was just people, they knew what to mix. They maybe didn't understand what was happening.
Or they had their own explanation.
Right. That I need this, this, and this.
Right.
And the spell will be complete for healing.
Right.
And they were actually making a potent antibiotic.
Right, yeah.
I guess like the only difference is understanding.
Absolutely, yeah.
What chemical reactions are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And why everybody that made hats went crazy.
Yeah, Mad Hatters.
Yeah, because I think it was mercury.
Yeah, they were covering them in mercury. Because
they would boil mercury.
Get that shine on mm-hmm. them. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for this part. This is part one. We'll just do next week. We'll do part two.
Sweet. This is fun.
I have been the great and powerful Mr. E.
I've been J-Clone 91.
Hopefully you enjoyed the sick Mr. E. That's maybe I'll do the main episode like that.
There we go. Yeah. They'll love that.
No, that was me 2 days ago. All right, guys.
All right.
Bye. Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.